T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Jim's. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Jim's, turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We are extremely grateful that you have chosen to spend some of your time with us today. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much. Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer, in about a half hour at 9:35. 7 years ago today, do we have the audio, boys? 7 years ago today, there was a famous incident. I'll just say instance that took place at Oracle Arena. Some of you may remember it. For those of you who don't, take a listen.
This is crazy.
The abbreviated version, of course, but what we're talking about is...
Yes, the Chris Mullin retirement ceremony that happened at halftime about a week after they had traded fan favorite Monte Ellis. Nobody yet knew this owner, if it was Lacob or if it was Lacob. They didn't know Peter Guber. And these guys bought the team. Everyone expected Larry Ellison to win the bidding war by the team. We knew Larry Ellison from Oracle, and you figured that's the way it was going to go. But the outsiders, Lacob and Guber, bought the team. The Chris Mullin retirement ceremony happened. It was a 15-minute halftime ceremony that was too long. Papa was the MC. Rick Barry played a role in it. We'll talk to him coming up. But it's hard to believe when I go back to that moment 7 years ago and you see how embarrassing that was for the organization, for Chris Mullin, certainly, for Joe Lacob. No one would have thought in that moment, yeah, this is how a dynasty's born.
Think about how lucky we are today. We can sit here and nitpick a 111-105 loss at San Antonio last night. Sure, we can talk about Steph and Clay having a really rough night, a combined 14-43. We can talk about falling behind even greater lengths when the second unit tried to hold it down during the second quarter. We can talk about a tremendous third quarter run that brought him back, but all to be what eventually resulted in another check mark in the loss column. We can nitpick that, but the reality is it's a loss. You're still 23-12 on the road this year, and you're tied with the Denver Nuggets for the number one seed in the West. Life is pretty good. Life is pretty good in hindsight, but you got to get ready to turn around tonight to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, the Wolves are reeling. They look like a team that has packed it in, but they are rested.
Yeah.
They've given up 120 or more points in 8 of their last 10 games. So there's an opportunity here. But before we talk about that opportunity, we got to talk about Andrew Bogut last night getting the start. Overall, what did you think of the big man?
I thought the big man played fairly well. Joe's 9 seconds. The guy gets a foul 9 seconds. Why? Because he was being Andrew Bogut. Getting in the lane, go ahead and set that hard screen, hard set, and like, okay, come get me. And yeah, he leaned a little bit, so they called it. But here's a guy, you know that what he is. He's an effort guy. He's been a journeyman in this league, but he's been a consistent player. Why? Because of his effort and his heart and his toughness. That's who Andrew Bogut is, and that's why they brought him back to this team. Boogie Cousins gets a little dinged up, but before even Boogie got hurt, They already was eyeing Andrew Bogut. Why? Here's a guy that has familiarity with this system. He's a guy you can throw out there and you know he's going to be able to bang. You know he's going to give you some rebounds. You know he's going to give you solid minutes. But he's going to bring you a toughness. And not just that, he's going to bring you the leadership. So you looked at what Andrew Bogut did last night for not playing in association for during their season. I thought he played well. Was it great? No, but it was well. The guy comes out there after a tough time of traveling all around and goes out there and give you some solid minutes, played well, had some rebounds, threw the ball down. The big man was doing some things there, so you're happy for the big fella.
You had a need, a very specific need, on a team that's already, shall we say, overflowing with talent. But you had a need. Somehow, towards the end of March, less than a month from the start of the playoffs, you were able to address that need with an individual who looks more than capable of filling that void. You got to just sit back for a second and say that is an incredible stroke of luck, an incredible stroke of good fortune that you need a big man who can fill in X amount of nights, minutes per night and not let the inmates take over the asylum. And Bogut looked capable of doing
yes,
that last night.
I think more than luck, it's Joey Lightyears, and it speaks to Joe Lacob and the organization being not necessarily smarter than everyone else, but being forthright and being, I guess, clever enough to figure out how they can get around it. Because all the talk about this 15th roster spot, and we discussed it ad nauseum, it was who's going to pop free in the buyout market. And everyone was thinking about Lopez, and would Lopez come free? Maybe you could somehow find a way to bring him in. And when that didn't happen, when Chicago didn't buy him out, you thought, well, maybe the Warriors are stuck. Maybe they won't find a big man. But lo and behold, you've got Larry Harris, who, by the way, drafted Andrew Bogut first overall when he was in Milwaukee. Larry Harris, the assistant GM in Golden State, he has his eye on Andrew Bogut, and they're keeping their eye on the Sydney Kings. None of us was thinking about how Andrew Bogut was doing with the Sydney Kings, but Larry Harris and the Warriors brass were, and so when that season ended, they realized that he might be the perfect fit to come in and help the Warriors in this situation. And because the narrative about, oh, Bogut left and he was so bitter about the way it ended, this and that, well, that really wasn't true. That was more of a media and fan creation. So
Bogut said as much.
Yeah, the organization knows that it didn't end necessarily that badly. The organization sees him on tape in Australia and sees that he's a lot more slender and that he's playing 30 minutes a night for the Sydney Kings and he's able to get up and down. And you realize this might be the perfect fit. If you can convince Bogut to come back for 2 or 3 months, you go ahead and extend the offer, and the next thing you know, you got number 12 back in blue and gold.
And why would you bring in a guy, you know, you talked about the Lopez brothers. Why would you bring in a guy like that? What? Not that, no disrespect to those guys, but bring in a guy that's already been in the system. Bring in a guy that should have won a couple more rings. You decided to put him out. So here's a guy now that you're saying, here, man, yeah, they might be a little bit better than you. They might be a little bit faster than you. They might be able to score a little bit more. But one thing I know, they don't necessarily love it. We know that you are a Warrior and you love being here. And you know that this guy will be the first one to defend Steph. Those guys don't have any chemistry with Steph. Those guys don't never been with these guys. We know Andrew Bogut will fight for you. You know Andrew Bogut. Someone comes on Steph. He's the next. It's got Draymond and then probably him and Cousins. Cousins is a different type of anger and a different type of that. But you're talking about a guy who's going to be tough, who's going to be physical, that ain't going to do a bunch of talking, but just going to do it with his pad, do it with his big shoulders and his big body. That's Andrew Bogut. Not going to talk you to death. He's going to say, don't sing it to me, bring it to me.
It's a pizza. Great value. Pizza, can't go wrong with a piece of pizza, baby.
Pizza.
It's Little Caesar all of a sudden.
Little Caesar, yes. Baby. The big square and the white bag. Got to be different than everybody else, but damn it, I'm going to pay attention because I want some pizza. Yeah. Even bad pizza is good pizza, man. Oh, you mentioned how it was a storyline all year. Like, what are they going to do with this 15th roster? But that was my single least favorite storyline of the season. It's my entire take was, who cares? Who cares? You have Boogie, Clay, Steph, Draymond, and KD. I don't care about your first world problems with your 15th roster spot. Really didn't care. Never wanted to do the research to look into who the options could be. Couldn't have cared less. And then it ends up being Bogut. And it's right. Like, all right, well, if you're going to solve it, you're solving it with a fan favorite. Everyone's telling me he's in shape. Watch him last night. He looked in shape, and he was in a tough situation. A flight from Australia to the Bay Area on Saturday. Sunday night, you fly from the Bay Area to San Antonio. You step out there, you start, you go against LaMarcus Aldridge. You looked all right. Moving forward, I'm excited to see what's next. Do we get to a point where anyone wants to see him start over Boogie? I know that inevitably that take may surface. All takes rise to the top at some point. All takes. The question is finding the legitimate takes from the troll takes. The idea that Bogut finds himself in the starting rotation over a healthy DeMarcus Cousins. Do you see something like that happening at some point?
I see it happening. It's a long shot, but I would like to see it happen because
really?
Right now you've got a second unit, and you saw it last night, and I know DeMarcus didn't play and Iguodala didn't play, but you've got a second team that is devoid of scoring. So when the Warriors go out and they have a good first quarter and you leave it up 7, up 8, whatever the case is, unfortunately, when you turn the keys over to Quinn Cook and company, you don't have the same amount of reliable scoring. What we've seen from DeMarcus Cousins is that he demands attention in the low block, and he's an excellent passer. We know this. So Why not go ahead and have him play either the final 4 minutes of the first quarter and the first 4 minutes of the second quarter, thereby giving a boost to that second unit? You can have Bogut start. Bogut can run out there for 6 minutes or 8 minutes. You can use Kavon if you need to bridge the gap. And then you come with DeMarcus Cousins. That way he can be more impactful offensively with that second team.
Good gracious. Think about that second unit taking the court. Who's got a second unit that could come anywhere near that? If you're in a seven-game series against Houston and two of your starters, such as Klay and Draymond, are going to hang around while Steph and KD get rest, and Boogie goes trotting out there with Iguodala
and Livingston
or whatever it may be, that's a formidable five. That's a five that should be able to hold it down for a little bit, or it's going to force Harden to keep playing, and you know James will run out of gas by the end of the series. It's what happens every time around.
Right, and you look at Toronto and their second unit with Fred Van Vliet and Pascal Siakam when he's out there in the second quarter. Toronto's a team that's very deep as well, but when you talk about experience, you mentioned it, DeMarcus Cousins, Iguodala, Livingston, even if you go to the true second unit with Quinn Cook out there, you still have a team that is a little bit more offensively diverse, some inside and some outside. Right now, without DeMarcus Cousins and with Andrew Bogut in the starting lineup, Kevon Looney's not an offensive threat. Jordan Bell is not an offensive threat. Quinn Cook can shoot it, but that's just about it. And otherwise, you got Sean Livingston's turnaround jumper and not much else.
How do you try to get ready for tonight in Minnesota? You played this game yesterday. You lose. You find out the Nuggets went on to beat the Celtics in Boston. You're now tied atop the Western Conference standings with Denver. You got to get on a plane. You got to fly 2.5 hours north to Minnesota. You got to take on a Timberwolves team that will probably get up for this game.
Yeah,
the question is whether or not they'll sustain for four quarters. But how do you get ready for this?
Well, you are better, and this is a game that you should win. It's a game that you need to win. And I like them being in this spot. Really quick before I continue, Joe.
Sure.
I think that, no, you keep Cousins as starter. When you run a relay, especially the 400 relay, it's usually your guy that can run out of the blocks. He's usually the guy who takes off first. And that's what I was usually there, because I wasn't a top-end guy with the speed, but I was powerful and I can come out of the block. So usually your starter, you want that quick burst guy. So no.
What relay did you run?
The 4x4.
4x4, so the full lap.
Yeah, no.
The 4x1. 4x1. The 4x1.
Each guy was running 100 meters.
Yes, 100 meters.
Okay,
yes.
So you would run the first 100. You were not the anchor.
No, it wasn't
the
anchor.
While shaped like an anchor, you were not running the anchor.
I don't think that was funny.
It was setting it up for my punchline, which was going to come next, about the fact that they couldn't trust you to receive the baton because of your...
That's even better.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You had to hand it off because K5.
Yeah. I'll continue to let you receive. Because you like to receive, Daniel. Because I was explosive. And so I think that the Warriors, with that five, they need to be explosive. The starting five, so it needs to stay intact. And that's why you have them, because they're supposed to go out there and get you a lead to that first leg. So I think that you stay with Boogie Cousins. But tonight, Joe, this is a game that this team needs to win. It's a game that they will win. And even though it's a back-to-back, it's a tough spot. But they understand what's at stake now. And they've no more passes. And I understand they don't need to be the number one seed. But last year was a totally different situation. You were in a situation last year that the Rockets clearly was going to be the number one seed, up by 7 or 8 games. And the Warriors said, you know what? Let them have it. Why would we expend that type of energy to be able to fight to go ahead and try to be number one? It's not worth it. But now you're in a situation, you're neck and neck, and now you need to know that you need to turn it up, because it is getting close to playoff time. You have to turn it up. You got to turn up the volume. You got to pump up, turn up the heat. And you know what? You turn up that heat, and you start to make that water start to boil. And right now, this team's starting to get in that rhythm. They got to get in that rhythm and start boiling this team and starting to get on the right track. So I think tonight, they should go out here and they should handle their business. I expect a proficient game. I expect Klay and Steph to pick up. You know, they didn't play. They didn't shoot that well. Hell, if those guys make half their shots last night, if they shoot even 45%, they win that ball game. So I think tonight, this team, even off of back-to-back, they'll get it run. They'll get it going in the right direction. So that's what I expect.
I am looking for a lot of points in tonight's game. And we talked about this before the show started. I like the over at 225. It's been bet up 4 points to 229. The Warriors in the second half of a back-to-back this season are giving up 116.5 points per game. On the season, in every other scenario, they're giving up just 111. So defensively, they take a bit of a slide. That's natural. You're going to run out of gas a little bit towards the end of the game, second night of a back-to-back. 2-6-1 against the spread in the second half of back-to-backs this season. But more importantly, Minnesota's defense is just gone. They don't really stop anybody. Their last 10 games, they've given up 120 or more 8 times. That's an insane amount of points to surrender. They're clearly out of the playoff hunt, and it looks like they don't care. I do believe they get up for tonight because it's the Warriors. People will be watching. But by and large, the Warriors should be able to overcome the cobwebs, the fatigue, whatever you want to call it, and get past Minnesota. I don't know if they cover the number, but I do like there to be a lot of points tonight. Maybe Warrior team total. Because if you see Steph and Klay combining to shoot, what was it last night, 32%? They're going to bounce back tonight. Old Wardell's going to let it go. He's going to let it go from 60, from 70. Hell no. He might let it go for damn near 80.
Let it go. Why not? You're in a situation. Why not? You know what you want to do. You know where you need to get. Turn it loose.
How hard is it, though, to turn it loose when it's the third game in 4 nights? And we talked earlier about them, you know, grinding and the grind of a 2.5-hour flight and getting in at 3 in the morning. Do you think, Joe, that that mitigates or offsets a little bit their ability to go out and hang 125 on a team that is so bad defensively when they're coming off? Yes, they're coming off a bad shooting night. The splash was not present down in the Alamo City. Does the travel and the back-to-back offset that for you?
The before last night's game ended and any point spread came out, I just kept thinking to myself, ultimately, if the Warriors could win this game, it would be the best-case scenario because you could bet against them the next night. It would present this great opportunity. But after they ended up losing, knowing they're chasing the one seed, you're going to get a spirited effort. I was under the impression that they won last night. They've been handling their business. They beat Houston. They beat OKC. They beat the Spurs. All right, second half of a lousy back-to-back. You go up there, you lose, you come back, you take care of Indiana on Thursday, you're fine. Everything's fine. But now that they lost that game, I see them being more locked in. So I don't want to bet against them. Any other opponent, I still might consider it, but I'm looking at Minnesota. Like, no heart. No heart. I remember on this radio show 3 years ago, having gone to a game with Nikki over at Oracle at the end of the season. It was 73 win season, excuse me. And that was one of the losses at the end of the year. They went overtime and lost to the Wolves without, I don't believe Jimmy Butler played in that game. I remember coming home thinking, this Wolves team is going to be something. That Karl Anthony Towns can play. Wiggins had a really nice night too. And I think Tyus Jones is one of their point guards. He had a nice night. I don't think Mohammed's still with them, but he had a nice night. And I remember thinking, this is going to be something. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be something. And I kept talking about it. Watch out for the Wolves in a couple years. And I kept picking them. And I kept thinking something was going to happen. And here we are 3 years later. You're not even in the playoff hunt with double-digit games still to play. Like, figure it out. It's one of those organizations. Figure it out. No one's talking, you'll notice, about winning a title, by the way. We're just talking about getting in to the postseason. Like, earn an 8 seed over a Clipper team that just traded away Tobias Harris. But no, soft. And when you give up 120 or more points in 8 of your last 10 games, I think that speaks very favorably for the Warriors. I think you come out tonight and you just try to focus on doing the little things, right? Don't try to do too much. Let the Wolves be the Wolves. They'll probably throw a good punch at you early, withstand it. They'll eventually decide they just want to get ready to go back to planning their vacations for the offseason.
And you have to, Dibs, when you ask the travel and all the different things around. Yeah, it has effect. I get it. But you are defending champs. And this is that tonight where guys just say, guys, I don't care how tired we are. I don't give a damn how tired we are. We got to find a way. We got Indy in 2 nights from now. We got to go out here and we got to play. Let's make it easier on ourselves. Let's not make it harder on ourselves. Let's be the number one seed. And this is that message where Kerr says, God, it's on you. It's on you tonight, guys. Do you guys want to be the one on one seed? Then you know what? It's in your grasp. Now, you can cluck it off and lose this game and look at Indy and think, where are we at? How's this thing going to go? But you know what? You ain't chickens. Don't be clucking. Let's go play. And you got to suck it up tonight off of back-to-back and say, we need to go ahead and take care of business. You know that this team is not better than you. Without, I don't care if you Bogut doesn't play, Cousins don't play, you have a better team. And tonight it needs to show up. It's no excuse tonight.
You play them twice in the next 10 days, both in Minnesota. That's the, you play at Memphis next Wednesday, and then you play at Minnesota next Friday. So this is one of those things, it's a business trip, in my opinion, where you go there and you expect to win this game, even if it's on the second half of a back-to-back. This one's got to be a strength and numbers game where maybe you see Yedebko in there and Quinn Cook gets more minutes and you get everybody involved because you know the starters are going to be a little bit more fatigued. So you look to go deeper in the bench. And like you say, Joe, you take it to this Minnesota team.
Damn, you said something in there that I really like.
Yet Ebko?
No, you talked about how it was a business trip. I like that, too. You talked about how it was a business trip. That goes back to my all-time favorite NFL celebration was when Al Harris and the Packers, whenever they would intercept someone or make a big play, the secondary would come together and they'd all shake hands. They'd just shake hands. There wasn't any dancing. They'd just walk up, formal handshakes, and then they'd leave. Then the NFL outlawed it because it was group celebrations. And I remember thinking that was the worst outlaw ever. That was such a great celebration until you find out why they would do it. And then it became an exceptional celebration. Like, why do you guys always handshake when you make a play? And Harris would say, you do realize we only do it when we're on the road. That's because it's a business trip. We shake hands on business trips. Mm. I remember thinking, yeah, that's a celebration I can get behind. I used to love that. They'd make a big play Sunday night and get up. No running and dancing, which I'm not against. It's just, you know, this was unique. You get up, all members of the secondary would shake hands, and then you'd make your way to the sideline.
Business trip.
Yeah, it was a business trip.
She bought some business cards in that same thing. Exchange business cards.
Keep it
professional.
Now it just becomes a clown show. Maybe everyone's handing out business cards. Maybe you could pull out your phone and show everyone your LinkedIn profile, and you could get matched up on LinkedIn.
Little much there, Daniel. Yeah. Little much.
It's not a job fair, Dibs. It's just, you know, it's a slight Packer celebration.
Almost done.
The Hall of Famer, Rick Barry, 7 years ago tonight, Chris Mullin night. What was it like? That is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hall of Famer Rick Barry scheduled to join the show in just a few moments. Our producer Cody was thinking that after we get done talking with Rick, we play the 2.5 minutes of audio from that night. 7 years ago today, Chris Mullin night over at Oracle with the fans going nuts. Would you be in for something like that?
I would be totally in for it. And we only play it so as to remind everyone how far we've come as a team and as an ownership group. Because at the moment, it was funny. But now that they've become a dynasty, it's almost a super sweet moment, a super sweet memory.
Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 if you'd like to hear the audio. One other announcement, join Damon Bruce and myself tonight, Tuesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. over at BMW San Francisco's 5th Annual Ultimate Bracket Challenge. Enjoy food and drinks plus a chance to win $1 million for a perfect bracket. Get tips from the pros and fill out your bracket with 95.7 The Game and BMW San Francisco. Full details are up on the website at 95.7thegame.com. To the phones we go. Hall of Famer, NBA champ, 12-time All-Star, the incomparable Rick Barry joining Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Rick, good morning and thank you for your time. Can you believe it's 7 years ago to the day, Chris Mullin night over at Oracle Arena?
I kind of block things out that I, you know, were disappointing to me and stuff. I don't think about stuff like that. It was unfortunate with some of the very small minority of the fans, so the way they responded, trading Monte Ellis. So you look back on that, and hopefully those people all realize how foolish they were.
Yes, and hopefully they also realize how good things are now, having won 3 titles and been to the finals 4 straight years. And now, lo and behold, on old number 12's back in a Warriors uniform, Rick, Andrew Bogut. What did you make of his debut, and just how much can you expect from Andrew Bogut over the remaining dozen or so games plus the playoffs?
Well, I mean, he's got plenty of time to get himself back and acclimated with the guys in the team. Obviously, different personnel, but Bogut knows what he can do. The Warriors know what he can do. That's why they brought him in. Certainly the combination that they have now at the center position should work well. Unfortunately, I think last night's game kind of shows you why you should never bet on an NBA game. I always tell you, always expect the unexpected. It was just one of those crazy things. Then they go out, they don't have KD, and they go out and they beat 2 good teams on the road, right? And then they play a team that isn't as good as they have been in the past, but a tough team to play in San Antonio. And they go out, and what happens, can happen, is that they have, you know, their 2 great shooters have bad games, 2 of the 3 guys. And that's what I said. If you want to beat the Warriors, you have to hope that 2 of the 3 guys have bad games. And that's what happened, 5 for 18 and 9 for 25. And they're still, you know, in the game. And they don't have Boogie. So, I mean, it was just one of those games. But, you know, I think that that Bogut did fine. I mean, in the short period of time that he, you know, that he played, you know, 20 minutes, a little under 20 minutes, he gets 7 points and 7 rebounds. So that's a nice thing. And the nice thing about it is both he and Cousins can pass the basketball. So when the Warriors are playing their brand of basketball, moving, cutting, and not going too much of the one-on-one stuff, which is, I think, is what that's their nemesis. That's their kind of Achilles heel when they start to do too much of that, because if they're not on with their shots and they're not shooting the ball exceptionally well, that's when they get themselves in trouble. But I think he's a nice addition for them going into the playoffs.
Rick, when you look at San Antonio and what they've been able to do, win 9 straight last night, makes it 9 straight. What is it about Greg Popovich in this, in his teams? And how good can this team be this season? Are they a legitimate threat in the West?
I don't think they're a legitimate threat to win the championship and get out of the West. But they certainly are always going to be a team that's going to play intelligent basketball. I mean, he does. They don't accept that. They don't accept bad people. I was just with somebody who's involved in sports. You know, a friend of mine, Kenny Schick, was with HBO for years and stuff. And he was happened to be sitting with Pop and talking about players and personnel. And basically, I mean, Pop and RC are Buford are not going to allow a guy to come to the team who isn't an unselfish team player. You have to have the right kind of personality, have to be willing to play the game the correct way, the way that Pop wants you to play, in order to be a member of the San Antonio Spurs. And they do a great job of bringing those type of people in. And even though, you know, they've lost some of their key players over the years, you know, especially starting with Tim Duncan and, you know, and Parker and the rest of the guys in Ginobili retiring, it's one of those things where they still are a good basketball team. Are they a championship caliber team right now? I don't think so, but they're certainly a very competitive team, as indicative of what they were able to do last night against, you know, the best team in the league.
Hall of Famer Rick Barry with us here on 95.7 The Game. Out of curiosity, did you get a chance to watch that Philadelphia-Milwaukee matchup on Sunday?
I got to see some of that. Yeah, that was a heck of a matchup between the two big guys for sure. But, you know, losing their guard, I mean, for Milwaukee really hurt them. I mean, a guy that's like a 50-40-90 guy.
Brogdon.
Yeah, that's really hard. That's hard to lose a player of that caliber. And chances are he won't be back until maybe, if they're lucky, by the second round of the playoffs. So that could be a big, big factor as far as Milwaukee's ability to be able to advance in the Eastern Conference. A really tough break for them. But that's the nature of professional sports and team sports. You have to have your team healthy. If everybody's not healthy, it creates a major problem for them. And I think that's a real problem now for Milwaukee.
The main reason I ask is, do you see one of those two teams being the biggest threat to the Warriors? Basically, we're trying to figure out who matches up with the Warriors to pose the stiffest challenge in the postseason.
Well, the bottom line and the reality of it is, if you were to take any team in the East and they came out of the East and played against the Warriors, if the Warriors came out of the West and both teams played their best basketball every time they stepped out onto the court on both ends of the court, nobody's going to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. It's just not going to happen. What has to happen is that the Warriors have to be off their game and the other team has to be playing well. If the Warriors are struggling, some of the other teams not playing well, the Warriors could possibly still win. But everything in an ideal world, if they all play their best basketball every time on the court, nobody's beating the Warriors in a 7-game series. It's just not going to happen. They have too much firepower. They're too good a basketball team. They know how to play the game the right way. But the thing is, they don't always do that. It's indicative of last night. They didn't do it last night, and they didn't do it when they were on that last road trip. My God, you know, blowing leads and losing to Miami and losing to Orlando. I mean, you see what can happen when they don't play their best brand of basketball.
How difficult is it to keep that eye of the tiger, to keep that fire in the belly throughout the course of 82 games? It's something that you were able to do throughout your career, but is that incredibly unique, especially in this modern NBA where it doesn't seem like there's that same urgency?
Yeah, I don't. It's difficult, first of all. Let me just say that, okay? If I could do one thing in sports that I could bottle to become a trillionaire, it would be take this medicine, take this liquid, and you'll be able to stay focused every time you're out there on the court, every moment. And that would be a real game changer. Everyone would be wanting to take it. But the most difficult thing to do, I think, for athletes or anybody, and for that matter, is to remain focused for extended periods of time. You can play hard in a basketball game, but if you're not playing focused, you're going to be half a step late doing things, and that's going to kill you in basketball. And that's a hard thing for players to learn how to do. And that's an individual thing that every player has to find out what it is in his makeup that allows him to be able to do that. It's not something that everybody is able to do, obviously. And that's where the problem comes. And that's what it comes down to, is being able to maintain that focus. I mean, a lot of it comes down, for me, it was great personal pride. I mean, I just was going to always try my best. My father instilled that in me. I try to instill that in all my children, is that always give your best effort when you step out there on the court and for anything else you do in life. Give your best effort. If you fail, you know, that's okay. You're going to fail sometimes. You're not perfect. But don't fail not giving your best effort. And that's what players have to try to do, and take great personal pride in showing up and being a true professional. But as we see in all sports, it doesn't always happen.
It's great advice. Hall of Famer, NBA champ, Rick Barry with us here on 95.7 The Game. Rick, before we let you go, anything going on with the website these days?
Yeah, you know, I haven't got my thing yet to be able to really, you know, give something great to your listeners, but I will still, you know, one of the good things I still do is the GoGYV, GoGYV.com/RBarry, GoGYV.com/RBarry. And just watch and listen to the video that's there. Make your own decision. I got off of a prescription drug for my knee with all the operations and stuff that I had. I found it to be great. Hopefully it'll be just as good for you, and you'll see some amazing testimonials by a lot of other people who feel that it's been a terrific product for Biogenesis. GoGYV.com/RBarry. Good to talk to you guys. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the Warriors, and I'm sure we'll talk in the future.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
I mean, he couldn't have said it. I don't know why I was expecting anything else when you ask him about 7 years ago,
yeah,
Chris Mullin's retirement.
It's he erased
like,
it
yeah,
in his
you
mind.
Know, I block things like that he from my memory. It. I hope those people realize how foolish they were. And it's like, well, that, yeah, okay, there you go.
Yes, and people do realize it. But in that moment, you had no idea that Joe Lacob was going to become Joey Lightyears. You didn't realize that they were going to go to the finals 4 consecutive years, maybe 5 consecutive. You didn't know that Steve Kerr would come in and replace Mark Jackson, hand down, man down. You didn't know any of that. So in the moment, you knew Monte got dealt. You weren't sure what the comeback exchange for that was. You didn't think that this all was going to happen. So I give the fans a pass in that moment for letting their emotions flow.
Does anyone remember what night of the week that was? Was that a weekend night?
I don't recall. I do remember coming home and having my wife say, you got to see this. And she queued it up and we watched it back, and it was just unbelievable theater.
What were you doing?
Oh, boy. 2011.
So you weren't at the game. That's what, because I was going to be like,
no,
if you were there,
I was
you
not at the game.
Probably playing golf or having a couple pops somewhere.
7 years ago, I was actually.
Who golfs at 9 at night?
No, you know,
it's not Alaska.
Back. No, but.
Yeah, 19th hole sometimes spills into the 20th hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next thing you know, you're at the 21st hole.
Absolutely.
I was working for the station. We had just changed our name from Sports Radio 957 to 957 The Game. That was August of 2011. So I was doing my thing with the Rise guys. And I remember the next morning having a lot of laughs at the expense of those involved, including Greg Popper.
What were you out doing that night? You weren't with the Rise guys at night, were you?
No, I
wasn't. Was that a show that just went 24 hours?
Yeah, we grinded pretty hard, Joe. It's a grind, you know.
Yeah, it's
morning grind.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough coming in here in the morning and, you know, looking at box scores and saying, what sports do you want to talk about today? Well, the Warriors played last night. Let's talk about that match.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas.
Let's do it.
Okay, fellas, let's go talk about the match. All right, so you got to really put it in context.
Okay.
The last few years, you get 3 titles in 4 years. You're on the verge of 4 and 5 and a possible three-peat. Life really couldn't be better for any NBA fan base out there. But every now and again, Draymond and KD get a little dust-up going, or the Warriors don't look super inspired in the first quarter, and suddenly it's panic, and it's unacceptable, and we need them to play better, and the fans need to be louder, and all that stuff. Think about all that as you listen to this audio from 7 years ago tonight, the Chris Mullin ceremony.
Tonight, now that we got that over with, tonight is about 2 things: embracing history and respect. The Warriors ownership, the current Warriors, our owners, think it's very important to embrace history. Something that hasn't been done in the past, perhaps, as well. And when you speak of Warriors history, there's no one.
I got it. As the greatest fans in the NBA, as everyone stated, sometimes change is inevitable and it's going to work out just fine. With your support and patience, and use that passion in the right direction. This thing is going in the right way. I've got great comps in Joe, Mark Jackson, and everything will work out just fine. Just a little bit of patience. Use that passion.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. As everybody said that. Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on. You're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
Wow.
I think takeaway number one is careful what you ask for, Clay Thompson.
Yeah.
You want some energy. Well, they'll give you a little bit energy. That's an all-time low point. You go back, and as many times as you hear it, that's an all-time low point. Every fan base has something like that, but that's a serious low point right there.
So that was 2 minutes and 22 seconds of what was a 15-minute ceremony. And it all started with Greg Papa giving intros of about 20 different people. And so the crowd was a little impatient based on the length of the ceremony. And then when the owner got up there and the owner was pausing, thinking that if he pauses, the booing would stop. And then it didn't. And then Mullen comes out. And then Rick Barry with the famous, this is crazy, trying to save it. The thing just got off the rails and stayed off.
Seriously.
Wow. I think people like more than being told, show a little class. Like, oh, yeah, he's right, everyone. Let's sit down. Now he is right
in
saying that. But if you're standing there and you're screaming, you're not going to think, okay, Rick, I'm sorry. I'll show some class. I'll sit down. You're going to think, forget this. Boo, Lamonte.
I don't care who you had. You could have had Michael Jordan. You could have had Obama, Trump, anybody. They were going to boo them. I don't care who was doing the ceremony. Those fans were.
They wouldn't have booed everyone.
Oh.
Not everyone.
Name me one.
There are people that could have gone out there that could have avoided the boo. There are people that are universally loved.
Dibs. In that situation.
Santa Claus.
They would have booed his.
I've had conversations with the Clauses. That's one of my favorites.
That did happen in Philadelphia.
They booed Santa.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Wow, they give him the love now. That's the fan. Is everyone full circle? Are they really, really?
Full circle, Coach.
Right up until you think about not showing up in Minnesota tonight, and then we can't wait to get you back Thursday. We're going to boo you for losing to the Timberwolves.
That's why I don't let nothing bother me. It's
yep, you know, just cool as the other side of the pillow.
I'm just cool.
No, yep, just relax. So
show
relaxed.
A little bit of class.
Just show a little bit of class. Exactly.
That should be the drop, to be honest
with
you.
That should be a great drop.
Instead of you people are crazy, show a little bit of class. We could hit that thing all day on
this
show.
This is crazy.
How he paused.
It's
like,
incredible.
Like, this is crazy.
You ever been a part of anything like that in any sporting event you were at? Like you part of a team or maybe you were on the opposing sideline where the fans just lost it? Matt Bowen told me a famous story. Good friend of ours out of Chicago, played safety, now works at ESPN. He said he played for the Redskins. I can't remember the exact year. But they were at a game in Buffalo. They were in Buffalo, New York, playing the Bills. And I think Mark Brunell was the starting quarterback of the Redskins at the time. And they're on the road at Buffalo. And this is probably early to mid-90s or early to mid-aughts. And Brunell gets hurt and he's down on the field. It's not like a serious injury, but the crowd goes quiet. And it's like, this is Buffalo. Why are they quiet for the fact that Brunell's hurt? And then he said, he started hearing booing. Now, this is a guy who played his college football at Iowa. He played for the Packers. He played for the Rams. He's played in a lot of places. He said it started building, and he couldn't realize what was happening. Why is this place getting so loud and so hostile? And it eventually got to a point where he said he's never been in a building like that in his entire life. He's played in the playoffs, bowl games, everything. Brunell's backup was Rob Johnson. And Rob Johnson was on the wrong end of the Music City Miracle.
Yes.
They went with him over Doug Flutie. Mm. He blew it. He never lived up to the expectations or the hype. And when the Buffalo fans realized that Brunell was down and Johnson was going to be checking in as his backup back in Buffalo, they went nuts and lost their minds. He said the booing went on for the entire series that Johnson was out there. It was a quick three and out or whatever.
Had to be.
Yeah. Just, I'm not presuming it was a 70-yard drive, even though it's the Bills. But there was this quick three and out, and he was like, I've never heard anything like it. He goes, I'm standing on the sideline. I had never heard a fan base like
Poor
that in my life.
Johnson,
they were just going nuts the whole time.
God, if you're that guy, you want to get away?
I mean, shoot. And that's a lot of times how booing works. Like, we've had Warriors this year get booed at home when they had a couple of those bad performances. Once a little bit of the booing starts, the boo birds come out, people are free to join in. It's that, it's kind of gravy training on the boo train. You don't want to be the one to start it.
Mob mentality.
Yes.
It's mob mentality. And there's nothing wrong with it. Every night, you know, you go to a game, it's don't throw anything. You don't need to say anything too far out of bounds because there are children there, but some good old-fashioned booing is not the end of the world.
No.
This is one of those moments that you can kind of look back on and you can have some chuckles about.
Right.
Because Lacob has delivered.
He's delivered.
Infinity fold.
Yes.
On what he set out to give to
this fan
base. We
should get him on the show and play that for him, because he could laugh now, because, I mean, no wonder he lives like he lives. He's like, okay, remember when you guys used to hate me?
Probably doesn't want to go back through that. He probably looks at that and...
No, you got to go back in order to go forward. I think that he.
Do you always want to hear the play of you getting knocked out by that guy? No one knows.
Ooh.
Do you want us to just play that every single day? No, you don't. You want to move past that stuff.
Here we go.
Yeah, now here come headsets off. Show's done.
Totally different circumstances.
All right, that's it. We're finished. Steinmetz guru Rick Welts, president of the Warriors, is going to join them at 11 a.m. You're not going to want to miss it. But for us, that's the end. Dibs, Anna, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Thank you for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it. As always, we will see you back here tomorrow morning. Good luck in Vegas, Dibs.
Thank you, Coach.
I believe Cozumel's filling in, so Lowe will... Cozumel's getting boated. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.